It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
The legendary coach Bill Parcells has always been fond of saying, "You are what your record says you are." So when the visiting Air Force Falcons, with a 9-10 record, 2-4 in Mountain West Conference play, took the floor today against our running Rebels, also with a 9-10 record, 2-4 in Mountain West Conference. According to the records, well, these were evenly matched teams. And when you consider there were 6 lead changes in the final 4 minutes alone of regulation, and the game wasn't officially decided without going double overtime, well, I guess you could say these teams were evenly matched. And if you're scoring at home, the Rebels missed 51 shots today, but the Air Force Falcons missed 50. Both teams had 56 rebounds, and both teams had 10 turnovers. But in the end, the Rebels had 2 more points, and they bring home the victory by a final score of 87-85. UNLV now 10-10 on the year, and 3-4 in Mountain West Conference play. The same record they had last year at this time. Welcome back to another edition of Rebel Extra, the post-game show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Runner Rebel Basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park Legacy in Durango Hills, Olvey Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas. Diamondback Land Surveying, from brick walls to the Taj Mahal. Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds. If you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. And Pizza My Dear, with a smoke and lunch deal, a 12-inch pizza for only $5. With 2 locations to serve you, go to pizzamydear.com. We come to you after every game this season, folks, and we want to hear from you. 364-1100, give us a call tonight, be part of the action, or you can text your thoughts at 69187. Please preface your text with ESPN. Before I go any further, let me introduce tonight's broadcast team. To my left, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, is producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado. He'll also be taking your calls at 364-1100. And to my right, I'm joined by the gentleman who has his own show on our sister station, Fox Sports 1340 AM, every Sunday morning. The show is called Out of Line, and his name is Brian Feldman. Brian, forget how it looked. They don't draw pictures in the scorebook. This was a W. Where would you like to begin?
You know, Bernie, I'm going to begin by saying, as you did, it's a W. I mean, that game was ugly in the second half, without question. Just flat-out ugly. You listen to John Sandler and Robert Smith joking about it the entire game. But, you know, I just pose this question. We are where I thought we would be, or maybe even ahead of the game, if I look back to last year when Menzies first got hired. We're 10-10, and I listen to people, some, you know, friends of mine getting disenchanted with the team, and I don't know how you can. You know, it was an exciting game. Wyoming and UNLV give you some exciting basketball, but Bernie, to start, it's a win, period, right?
Right. Well, I'm not going to throw cold water on any win. We're going to maintain our objectivity. The Rebels fought hard. When these two teams get together, I guess at least on this floor, it wasn't that long ago, March 9th, they went triple overtime in the 108-102 Rebels victory. Tonight, it took double overtime. I had no idea, Brian, that Nevada banks were open at 5 o'clock on Saturday night. It took a bank 30-foot three-pointer in regulation by Javon Mooring to send the game to overtime for the Rebels. It took a banked, I don't know how far it was, three-pointer from Jacob Van by Air Force to send it to double overtime. And then there was a bank shot in the end to cover the spread. Yeah, if you laid the 3 points for the Rebels, you got the W, but you're not going to cash. So there's that, folks. And, you know, from an offensive standpoint, this game was a treasure trove of sloppiness. Any way you slice it, the Rebels didn't get their first points until 16-12. At the first half, the Air Force Falcons jump out to a 7-0 lead. But the Rebels rebounded, had a pretty good first half, led by 8, Brian, 33-25. But then all of a sudden, don't look. And by the way, they extended to 10, 35-25. But don't look now. Air Force proceeds to go on a 17-0 run over the next 5 minutes. Wake the kids, alert the neighbors. Grandpa put on pants. We had a ball game.
You know, the first half, we were talking about it at the game, Bernie. The first half and the 2-3 zone that Air Force showed at the beginning of the game really gave UNLV some fits. They were having problems with entry passes.
Good point, Brian.
And again, UNLV started. First shot of the game, Poyser from well beyond the arc. It was an NBA three-pointer. Jones misses an easy layup. And then, again, Mooring takes a long three, and that's how Air Force jumped out to a quick lead. But UNLV did settle down, Bernie, and I thought they handled the zone fairly well in the first half. And I don't know what happened in the second half. After the five-minute mark, it was complete melee. It was crazy.
You know, heading into the game, there was some interesting little factoids. UNLV's last in the conference in offensive efficiency. Air Force last in the conference in defensive efficiency, particularly in the paint. Air Force allowing teams to shoot 68% inside the paint. I would have thought UNLV would have taken their inside presence and post up and pound the ball into the interior. But the fact of the matter is, at least early on, that Air Force zone was bothering UNLV. They were denying the entry pass, and UNLV was living and dying by the three. Mooring hit, what, four three-pointers in the first half. That combined with an Air Force drought of 4 minutes, and that is really what led to the UNLV 8-point halftime lead. It wasn't necessarily artistic, but yet they had the lead.
Well, they did. And also, I want to point attention to something. The guy whose minutes have been decreasing and diminishing over the past couple of games, Chris Clyborne, not a great offensive performance, 6 points, Bernie, but defensively and especially on the defensive glass, Chris Clyborne had 7 rebounds in the first half, 6 of them being of the defensive variety. And that, you know, that takes away second chance points. And a team like Air Force that is normally pretty good around the perimeter, that helps out a great deal when you're getting defensive rebounds. And Chris Clyborne really much more active today. You saw his playing time increase a little bit. And as the Rebels move forward in the Mountain West Conference, Bernie, Chris Clyborne has got to play like he did tonight, maybe even a little better.
Hang on, Kevin. We're going to get to you in just a second. You'll be our first caller of the evening. But a couple of points I wanted to get to, Brian, before we get into the meat of the show. With the Rebels trailing in regulation, I mentioned this to you off air. I was surprised that the UNLV elected, Air Force elected not to guard the inbound ball, the gentleman inbounding the ball. That surprised me a bit. And then Steve Cofield just texted in. He said he wasn't sure if we'd heard, but Coach Menzies said in the post-game press conference that UNLV was supposed to foul Van before he hit that running three at the end of the first overtime. Quote, that's his philosophy. Don't let the opposition shoot a three. Make them shoot free throws. So a couple of oddball things there that ended up resulting in a double overtime game.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, I am amazed that, first of all, how do you not guard an inbound pass? They doubled Mooring.
I would have thought they'd want to put your tallest guy.
Without question. You've got to
disrupt
it.
Whoever that may be. Disrupt his vision, disrupt his passing lanes, all those things. Regardless, any way you slice it, Rebels win 87-85. Like I said, they don't draw pictures in the scorebook. A win is a win is a win. There were some things tonight, though, that we do have to call out, although there were some unsung heroes as well. So before further ado, let's get out to the phone lines. This is a caller-based show, and we rely on you, the fans and supporters of UNLV basketball, to make this show what it is. We appreciate your perspectives and opinions. Let's begin, as usual, with Kevin. Kevin, welcome back to Rebel Extra.
Hey, guys. You just touched on it, but here's a question for both of you. In all the years that you've watched basketball, have you ever seen – I mean, these coaches, they make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, right? If you're up three under 4 seconds,
right,
and a guy's dribbling and you don't foul him right there, I want to know, when coaches go and talk after the game, they say, well, we don't foul. Go hire somebody out of the math department and do the analytics. Have you ever seen it once where you're up three, you foul, the guy makes the first, and he misses the second, it gets tipped out, and the other team hits a three and wins the game? Have you guys ever seen that, Bernie?
Rarely. But it's a percent. Look, your point's duly noted. And apparently, Coach Menzies did implore his team to foul, and they didn't. And I don't know why.
Yeah, but the guy took 6 dribbles. I mean, they're probably telling. How do you not just reach in there and foul? I don't get it. And same thing for the Air Force coach. Mooring, it took 3 dribbles going left.
Fortunately, it didn't cost the Rebels of the game, but I will tell you there were multiple junctures in tonight's game where there were plenty of self-inflicted wounds. Bad shots, errant passes, 4 possessions, and that would have been a self-inflicted wound right there in the sense that they had 90 feet to foul the guy, and they didn't want to do it.
Some of that stuff is just hard to watch, and you're right. And they get the win, and you move on. So thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate it. Interestingly enough, Air Force 0-5 in true road games this year. They came within 2 seconds of getting their first road win. San Diego State, who visited last week, also 0-5 in true road games. They got their first road win here at the Thomas and Mack. Now the Rebels will head out for a couple of road games. 3-4, Brian, let's not bury the lead. You mentioned the Rebels 10-10. 3-4 in conference. That's very respectable considering where this program was on April 14th.
No question about it. That's what I'm saying. They're not in the cellar right now. I'm amazed Air Force has lost 16 straight road games in the Mountain West, and they're on the losing streak that they are. I think they've won four out of their last 16 games, and this is a veteran team at Air Force, a team that we know can shoot from the perimeter. Bernie, it reminded me, and I was talking about this during the game as we were watching a little bit of the Wyoming game, where the sharpshooters just were not getting the job done for Air Force, which really did help open the door for UNLV. If you look at Bernie, come on, the Rebels shot 21% in the second half and won this game. It is a mind scratcher, and you know, like I said, as an announcer and a fan of this game, it is hard to conceive or to talk about this game and not say it reminded me like of a bad high school game for a while in the second half.
It was, as I said earlier, it was a treasure trove of sloppiness in terms of Air Force's big guns. Frank Toohey picked up his fourth foul, I believe, with about 7.5 minutes to go. Hayden Graham picked up, he's their best player, his fourth foul with 9 minutes to go in the second half. And if you're Air Force, I got to tell you, this hasn't been mentioned. What if Trevor Lyons makes that second free throw with 12 seconds to go to put the Falcons up 59-55 instead of 58-55? It probably doesn't go overtime. The likelihood is you're probably looking at an Air Force road victory tonight. But that didn't happen, and they took advantage of it. And a couple of unsung heroes. I want to give Tyrell Green some credit. Little things kept this game from completely slipping away. And listen, we all know Tyrell Green, heading into conference play, he would have been the MVP of this team. He struggled mightily in conference, shooting 21% from the field. 11% Tyrell Green has been shooting from behind the arc in conference play. But he came up with a real clutch shot, Brian, when the Rebels trailed 53-52. As I said, there were six lead changes with 4 minutes to go, starting with Chris Clyburn, who made two clutch free throws to put the Rebels up 50-49 right at the four-minute mark. Air Force gets the ball back. Frank Toohey, he makes two clutch free throws for Air Force. 3:30 to go, and the Rebels are nursing a 51-50, or excuse me, Air Force is nursing a 51-50 lead. UNLV gets the ball back. Javon Mooring's fouled. He makes two clutch free throws. Air Force gets the ball back immediately. Hayden Graham makes a layup with a minute to go. The Rebels get the ball back immediately. Tyrell Green throws up a forced, hurried three. Clank. Misses it. Air Force gets the ball, goes the other way. Zach Koser, makes a three-pointer, and now it's 56-52 Air Force, who were in the final minute. Rebels get the ball back. Green, with the balls of a burglar, jacks up another three. This time it goes down. 56-55. They foul Lyons. He goes to the free throw line, and then the topsy-turvy final minute. I want to give Terrell Green credit, okay? He made a clutch shot. Otherwise, the Rebels would have surrendered the ball, most likely gone down by four, and not had possession of the ball. Chris Clyburn, a couple of huge clutch free throws to not allow the game to get away at the 10-minute mark. Air Force led 46-43. It was at that point of the game where you felt if one team got a 2 or 3 possession lead, then they would sustain it because neither team could really get a grip on this game. Again, the records are what they are. They're fairly evenly matched teams, like it or not. That's just the way it shook out. But give Chris Clyburn some credit making some clutch free throws. Tyrell Green credit for making a clutch three. In addition to Javon Mooring, the man of the hour, who banks in a 35-footer in overtime, makes a 30-footer in regulation. And this is just what they do, I guess. I you know, if someone wants to know the identity of this team, they jack up threes. And if the threes go in, Everybody's happy in Tinseltown. It's as simple as that. But by the way, Air Force always, they're always, relying on the three-point game, as was Wyoming three or four Saturdays ago. So, you live by the three, you die by the three.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do, Bernie. And Terrell Green, you couldn't have said it better. This guy, so many overtime clutch plays, and overtime 7 points in that OT, and Terrell Green really stepped up. I think you'll see his minutes increase a little bit after this game. Hopefully it gave him a little bit of confidence. And Bernie, I say the real difference in the game at the very end in the second overtime, I think when Graham fouled Jones in the second overtime and fouled out with a little over 2.5 minutes to go in the game, that was gigantic to not have him down the stretch for Air Force. I think that was Tui and Graham fouling out, Tui in the first overtime, Graham in the second. You're taking away two of the three best players that Air Force has. That was absolutely gigantic. We got to take a break.
We do. Before we do, real quickly, Kevin Bollinger just texted in to remind us Christian Jones to hit the baseline jumper to start the second overtime was also huge. It settled the team after having to play a second overtime after Van hit the buzzer beater. All right, we are going to take a quick break. He's Brian Feldman. I'm Bernie Fratto. When we come back on the other side, we're going to go over some of the numbers, individual performances in this game. There are some serious head scratchers. So stick with us, folks. Don't go away. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, Brian Feldman, Bobby Machado producing. Still call 364-1100 to be part of the action. Rebels fall tonight in double over. Excuse me, they win tonight in double overtime. 87-85 over a game. Air Force team. Brian, some unusual numbers, to say the least, that are hard to really look at from the standpoint of did this really happen? The Rebels missed 51 shots, believe it or not. 26 of 77 field goals. 13 of 39 missed 26 three-pointers tonight. By the way, Jalen Poyser, who is red hot in non-conference, continues to struggle. 1 of 10 from behind the arc tonight. Rebels also missed 11 free throws, 22 of 33. Only turned the ball over 10 times. Not bad. 56 rebounds. And obviously the man of the hour, Javon Mooring, with 30 points, but he also had some steals, assists. And as you mentioned, Brian, before the show, Javon Mooring, second in the Mountain West Conference in assists. So he is a highly capable point guard, but I shudder to think what it would look like tonight had the Rebels not just simply made a bunch of crazy threes.
No question about it. Javon Mooring, 6 more assists tonight, Bernie. And those are point guard numbers. When you're second in the Mountain West in any conference in assists, it justifies you playing the point. Mooring is growing into that position. I still really would like to see him utilize the three-point line, Bernie. There's no reason to be 5, 6, 7, 10 feet behind the three-point line when he's taking his shots.
That's when he's at his best, actually.
Oh, my Lord in heaven.
By the way, and Chris Wynn texted in, rather remarkable that the Rebels actually were able to pull this out, considering they shot 21% in the second half. And I think a very jovial Marvin Menzies basically said, quote, it wasn't a masterpiece, but you got to grind these out sometimes, and everybody got a good chuckle. And again, a win is a win is a win. They don't draw pictures in the scorebook. I'm really happy to see the Rebels get a win here, Brian, because they would have fallen had they not won to 2-5 in conference, and now you head to Wyoming Wednesday night. That's not going to be fun. They'll have revenge on their mind. And then to San Jose State, and San Jose State is not, an automatic win. No game is an automatic win, but in past years, it was one you'd look at the schedule and say, well, we expect to come out on top. I believe that'll be a difficult game. So you're heading into back-to-back road games, my point, with a nice home win that just kind of feels good.
I think this was a necessary win, especially the way it all went down, to have an 8-point lead at half. Bernie, come out and make the first basket in the second half and be up 10, and then 17 straight point run for Air Force. I think it was a very crucial win for UNLV tonight. And Fresno State, when you look at it, that's a team similar talent-wise to UNLV.
Well, that's Fresno State was the only Mountain West entrant last year to get a nod to the tournament. They lost to Utah, fought hard, but lost. They waltz into Reno tonight and not only beat Reno in their home floor, but they do it for the second time this season. They've got Reno's number. Rodney Terry lost a couple of key players last year,
Marvell Lewis?
No.
Marvell Harris,
thank you.
Yeah.
Put Karrueche Edo back. Again, he makes our all-name team, Karrueche Edo. You had a thought about Troy Baxter tonight before we went to break.
Well, no, I did. Troy Baxter did not look like his groin was bothering him at all. Marvin Menzie alluded to that in the last press conference after the San Diego State loss, saying that's why he didn't get in the game. As I texted you after that the game, Bernie, and told you that, I said it was kind of under Marvin Menzie's breath. I think he wanted that comment to go away. I think Troy Baxter simply didn't play against San Diego State because Marvin Menzies chose not to play him. Tonight he got in the game a little bit more, but he's another guy, Bernie, is going forward that I think, as you mentioned many times, this is the only four-star recruit that Marvin Menzie brought to this team. And Troy Baxter, you can see the raw talent is there. He's young. He's got to improve. But again, we don't see practices, but I just can't imagine this team making any kind of noise going forward without having someone like Troy Baxter on the floor playing his best.
Well, in addition to that, hopefully Jalen Poyser can find his stroke, because in conference play heading into tonight, he was shooting 30% from the field and 27% from behind the arc. In conference play, did nothing to improve on those numbers tonight. 3 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 10 from three-point land. As I said, he was visibly frustrated more than once. So we're going to take our final break of the evening. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up, take a tour around the Mountain West, look ahead to Wyoming. Don't go away, folks. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Now, back to Rebel Extra on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Wrapping it up on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. I'm Bernie Fratto. He is Brian Feldman, producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado behind the board tonight. Rebels win in double overtime, 87-85. And, you know, Brian, the Mountain West Conference is really starting to bunch up quite a bit in terms of no one is going to run away and hide. I believe San Diego State was 16-2 last year. It wouldn't surprise me if 12-6 won this conference.
No, not at all, Bernie. I want to go real quickly back to something you said before the break. You talked about Fresno State beating Reno twice. Last game after San Diego State, you and John Von Tobel were talking about if UNR, which they didn't do, ran the table and went all the way to the Mountain West Tournament and lost in the championship game,
right,
would UNR get a at-large bid? And you said, you know, the ACC may be 9 teams deep this year in the tournament. And you said no, because they look at quality wins and quality losses. And even though that loss came early, it was quality loss. Now this loss, I'll tell you right now, the only team going in the Mountain West is the team that wins the Mountain West tournament.
I believe you're right. And as you look around the Mountain West tonight, Boise State back in the hunt now. They beat San Jose State on the road, 75-65. Fresno State, as we mentioned a minute ago, waltzes into Reno, takes care of business, 81-76. It looks like New Mexico is going to hang on at home against Wyoming, the Rebels' next opponent. They lead 73-69, but they've got the ball with 25 seconds left. Hang on to your hats, you never know. But New Mexico is in control, seemingly. And Colorado State, coming off their caning the other night, had a horrible game, just got killed at Fresno State. They lead at halftime on the road. Colorado State does, at Utah State, 35-23. Brian, what are your final thoughts, buddy?
You know, final thoughts, Bernie, as ugly as the last 15 minutes of the second half of tonight's game was, it went to double overtime, and both overtimes came about because of last-second three-point bombs off the glass at the buzzer. And then UNLV wins the game. I'm sorry, but if you're a true fan, you do walk away scratching your head. But you're drained and happy, which in my book is a feeling I don't mind having at all. What I'm saying is embrace and support this team for what they are. 10-10 at this point in the season, Bernie. If
very
you would have asked me that last April, I would have said 10-10 after 20 games, I'll take it.
Very respectable, 3-4 in conference, and they were 3-4 in conference last year at this point. They've had a quality road win at New Mexico, at the Pit. You got to give it up to them. Tough home loss in conference versus Boise. But how have the Rebels responded? And I think this has been the pattern that's given them their due. Had a tough road loss to open up at Colorado State, bounced back with a nice win versus Boise State, right? Had a nice,
Wyoming.
Thank you. I haven't even been drinking yet. The Rebels have three quality conference wins that we'll take at New Mexico, coming off a tough loss. And tonight, against Air Force, coming off a tough loss. So the fact of the matter is, the Rebels have shown they're resilient. They're going to fight. They're going to kick and scratch. Again, it wasn't pretty. They don't draw pictures in the scorebook. But a win is a win is a win. You don't throw cold water on it.
Yeah, you don't, Bernie. And I just want to say, everyone, the answer is finally in on Dwayne Morgan. We're not going to see him the rest of this year. That is 100% fact. You got the email, I'm sure, earlier this week from Andy Grossman.
Yes.
And he's out for the year. They're going to try to get him a medical redshirt at the conclusion of the season.
Yes.
So they're going to have to win without him. And guys like Troy Baxter Jr., Dembele, and them are all going to have to step up.
That's going to do it, folks, for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado, Brian Feldman, I'm Bernie Fratto, bidding you good night. Next up for the Runner Rebels, a trip to Laramie, Wyoming, Wednesday. The tip-off will be at 6 o'clock local time. In the meantime, folks, tonight's final score, UNLV 87, Air Force 85. Good night, drive safely, go Rebels, and thanks for listening, folks.